Consumers are just not frequenting bookstores like we had hoped. I wasn't done. I cited the U.S. Census Bureau, Publishers Weekly, and other industry publications. I then finished with what I thought was a note of optimism. We didn't do what we had hoped, but we're still ahead of last year. Not bad, right? Believable? Well, my coach wasn't buying. Okay, Eileen said, I get that all those things were factors. The environment is tough. But let's be honest. It's always tough, right? I didn't know where she was going with this, but I agreed. Yes, it's always tough. Then she dropped a bombshell on my psyche. Mike, what is it about your leadership that led to this outcome? Excuse me? I replied, knowing full well what she had just asked. Eileen gently repeated the question. I think I was speechless for a full 2 minutes. Well, I'm not exactly sure, I stammered. That's a great question, but I don't know quite what to say. Thankfully, she gave me a little help. As long as the problem is out there, you can't fix it, she said. You're just a victim. I'm not trying to shame you. I am trying to empower you. You can't change your results until you accept full responsibility for them. I nodded, still unsure I liked what I was hearing. But over the next few hours, we worked through the question and the issues it raised. I began to realize that the story I was telling myself about reality had created a fixed horizon of possible responses. Here I was, eager to close the chapter on July and move into August. But by imagining our performance was primarily limited by market conditions out there, I was already limiting the range of possible strategies available to my team and me in here. As long as the main troubles were gas prices, interest rates, and consumer behavior, we couldn't do much. The story I was so satisfied with a moment before was suddenly unpalatable to me. We had created an out for ourselves, but at the same time, we had also erected an accidental barrier. My narrative about our performance in July was going to hamstring our performance in August. That realization hit me, as I said, like a bomb. Where did that narrative come from? It seemed totally true, self-evident. But in reality, it was only partially true. And my team and I went to some effort to assemble the evidence to confirm the story. We all have moments like that, don't we? We think we understand a problem or a circumstance, only to realize that we've got it wrong. These kinds of narratives become especially problematic when they block our path to our goals, when they prevent us from achieving the results we want. Yes, there are problems out there, but how we respond to those problems is entirely in here, in our own heads. We're distorting the facts, missing the facts, or putting the facts together in ways that don't really fit reality. And our crummy story somehow works for us. Until we realize that it doesn't work at all. Our best thinking turns out to be a dead end.
Neurons and narratives. One of the challenges Joel and I faced with our boys was finding the best way to help them heal from the trauma they'd experienced. Among her recommendations, Dr. Purvis advised nutritional changes to encourage healthy brain chemistry. We followed that regimen and found it helpful. But nutrition could take us only so far. Around that time, I chanced on a book by Seaburn Fisher called Neurofeedback and the Treatment of Developmental Trauma. Neurofeedback relies on the remarkable ability of the brain to